I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
If you put together a team of 52 quarterbacks and Myles Garrett, you're bound to find your quarterback.
Eventually, throw enough darts.
You guys are playing chess, Andrew Berry, checkers.
Chutes and ladders.
Nah, oh. It's checkers. Tyler Huntley's here. What do you think?
I was confused at first. Still waiting for more information to come in.
Oh, I'm not confused.
Oh, you've got a handle.
I drew two conclusions. Yeah. Well, I don't know if they're true. I drew two conclusions in my own head.
Everybody was desperate to figure out why in the world, and Ken says he knows.
Well, no. It's a theory. These are theories. It's theories. They haven't said anything, but I'm going on a theory here that I've come up with myself. One, clearly, Kenny Pickett and Dillon Gabriel aren't feeling that great. Isn't that easy enough?
Yeah,
is that not easy enough?
I think the prevailing wisdom is that there are guys that could not be available.
Yeah. Two, and this is the second thing that I really don't want to say it because I wanted him to have a crack at first team reps yesterday, and I'm like, today's the day. Today's the day he's getting first team reps. And he didn't get first team reps. I go, how dare you, when we chant for first team reps, you don't give us first team reps for Shedeur Sanders. We did the chant and everything. You just won't give us what we wanted. And then when they signed Tyler Huntley, I go, yeah, he might be a little further behind to them than what we think. He might be a little further behind. Not, I don't know if it's a, that's, people are going to take that as a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. He ain't no dummy. But he just might be further behind than what we think he is, where they're not comfortable putting him out with the first team. That it will affect his confidence or will affect the confidence of those around him, and that they just might not be that comfortable just yet. So he's which sucks because it's like, hey, Nathan's saying he deserves first team reps. I'd love him to take first team reps. I'm definitely down with first team reps. I think you are on the record you like to see him with the first team.
Well, I don't see any harm at this point.
Well, apparently they do.
Yeah.
So you're being asked to trust the Browns in this case. Which I don't know if that's going to be a lot of fun for people. So what were your conclusions?
Why they signed another quarterback?
Yeah,
we're up to number six already. Man, it's
Yeah.
We always talk about December in Berea.
Five on the field, one in the weight room.
There's Christmas in July, there's December in Berea. Where the hell are we right now on August 5th?
Yeah, well,
this is just a mess. It's a total mess. Not, by the way,
I don't know if it's
a lot of it's a mess on their own accord, and we've talked about that to death. Like, so much of their strategy look like not a strategy at all. Like, oh, okay, Shador's available. Well, we just took a quarterback in the third round. All right, let's take another quarterback. After they brought in Kenny Pickett. Oh, let's go get Joe Flacco. Like, what?
Well, that's
like, what, pick a course. Like, where is this happening all over the NFL? This time it doesn't look like necessarily their fault because they need arms.
I'm sorry, I have to disagree. I don't know how you can call it a mess.
It's worse than a mess.
Aren't they doing what you've always wanted them to do?
No, we've talked about this.
You've always wanted as many quarterbacks as possible.
Not all at the same time to the detriment of each other where you can't evaluate any of them.
I don't know if they can be.
What the hell sense does this make?
But this is what you wanted. You've reaped what you sowed.
This wasn't. I did say in the past, like, fine, take a quarterback every year in the draft. I didn't say take four quarterbacks in four different situations in their career all at the same time. No, I've never said that.
Oh, and you wanted to draft quarterbacks like with every pick in a draft before.
Yeah, admit this is a mess right now. You can admit it's a mess. It's okay. Talk to the people. They're listening to you.
I want you to say you're going
honesty.
Back.
They want unbridled honesty from you. You just said it's not a mess.
But I thought
what about
you'd be
this isn't a mess?
I'm
you just
sorry,
heard
Anthony.
Pat, Pat
I
Boyle,
thought you'd be excited.
What did Pat Boyle just say on the way
he
in today?
He said it was a mess.
He says a total mess.
Well, God,
goes, what are the Browns
if
doing?
Pat Boyle said it.
Well, what does Ken Carmen think?
That's part of Boyle's messes.
I didn't say it was clean.
What?
No.
Oh, okay.
I never said it wasn't clean.
Ken
I never
found
said
a middle,
clean.
Ken found a middle ground here?
It's
not a mess, but it's not clean.
I thought you'd be excited. So this is what you've always preached.
So you
preached.
Think this is going well?
No, I don't think it's going well, but they're doing what you've always
so
preached.
So how does Ken you feel about this
Lyman
situation?
Not good, but Lyman gets what he wants. You should be happy. You got what you wanted.
This is not
you
what anybody.
It for years.
This is what
you
no,
pounded the table for years.
No smart team
you
would
wanted
ever operate
to, you wanted
like
two
this.
Quarterbacks before in the first round. This is what you wanted. You reap what you sow. Congratulations on all your success. Champions pose for tone.
Fine. With that said, this is a total mess, and I don't think anybody who follows the league would look up and down rosters, look up and down any way, best practices, any element of a good organization. This is nonsensical, what they have trotted out here in training camp. Can we be honest? Does anybody really disagree?
No, I don't disagree.
I mean, and I've seen, because this is the nice time of the year, right? When the national guys come in and go to every single camp.
Yeah.
You know, the NFL Network has been here. Aditi was there yesterday. She was on the afternoon show. We've seen Albert Breer come in. When all of these individuals come into every single camp, they put on a very, very positive outlook for all three. Diana Russini, I just heard her on with Bill Simmons, and she kept extolling the virtues of every camp. She did not extol, she said she was not in Cleveland yet, but she extolled the virtues of every camp because this is the time of positivity. I don't know how anybody could be positive about the quarterback situation with the Browns this year and have any other takeaway than this is not the best way to get the best out of any of these quarterbacks.
I am not positive. I don't think it's clean. I wanted to troll you, and I think I did it successfully because, again, you are on record wanting such things. It's just it's Tyler Huntley who was here last year, and it's an also-ran. But I just think that it's, in some way, Tyler Huntley being signed has helped us draw a couple of conclusions. The first conclusion is that I think Kenny Pickett is still struggling to come back to his full form. I wonder if he's rushing the situation because you go back to Zach's article yesterday when he goes off on like the tidbits of what he saw in camp. I think Kenny Pickett thought he might very well be the starter. In some of the behavior that Kenny Pickett it put out there would tell me that sounds bad. These are good things like the text to the new players, the rookies. You're putting together golf outings with his teammates that we know about here. Like, these are good behaviors by Kenny Pickett. That sounded bad. But some of the things that he was doing that would exude leadership, that tells me that they were like, yeah, we want you to be the starter. We want you to be a starter. Now he's kind of limping, and I wonder, I hope not, but I wonder if he's trying to force it, and it might not be exactly what he wants it to be. Dylan Gabriel, on the other hand, Maybe they've been telling Dylan they really like him, and he's just been going out and throwing ducks. Because I mean, Daryl can't say a nice thing about the guy other than he's a taxpayer. That's about it. I mean, Daryl can't say nothing good about Dylan Gabriel. So, and I think a lot of people they're struggling to say anything good about Dylan Gabriel on the field. And now you got two guys who have hamstring issues, and here's Tyler Huntley. And so the other conclusion I would have to say is that you're not going to have Joe Flacco play in this game on Friday. It I think with Tyler Huntley being signed, it looks less and less likely that maybe Dylan Gabriel plays in this game on Friday. Tyler played in preseason games for them last year. So they're going, hey, we got to get through this preseason game. Like, I don't know if they're going to – you could have them go – because, again, the practices are controlled. So you could kind of have him because Dylan Gabriel went in team session, even though he's supposed to be limited yesterday. It didn't seem like he was limited at all. He went in some team sessions with the twos. So you could put guys out there in the orange jersey. So I'm thinking it could be, I think we're looking at Shedeur Sanders starting the game on Friday and then Tyler Huntley coming in.
Well, I was going to laugh because could you.
Or Tyler Huntley starting the game on Friday.
Could you imagine the reaction? Because every time we bring up Shedeur Sanders, the sentiment that we get from people around the country that were never Browns fans until that dude was drafted 144th overall. Can you imagine the reaction? They said all along the Browns have been sabotaging Shedeur Sanders. What if this guy plays ahead of Shedeur Sanders and he hasn't even been here in camp? And he finally, the first team reps,
if he plays ahead of Shedeur Sanders,
oh, it'd be hilarious.
I'm just going to be quiet for the. I got youth games to coach, and I'm just going to be sitting there with my hands on my mouth because I have to save my voice for Monday. I will have to save it because it's like, man. I think you could see Shedeur. You better see Shedeur start that game against the Panthers, and then it becomes Tyler Huntley. If it's Tyler Huntley to start that game, I gotta, oh boy, because I don't think, again on record, I don't think the Browns are doing it on purpose to quote unquote sabotage Shedeur. I always said they could always get in their own way. The Browns have gotten in their own way many, many, many times in the past. So they could always get in their own way. But the two things that I think are apparent here, as it's not clear, but it's apparent to me, that the injuries are maybe a little bit more taxing than they want them to be and that they're not quite comfortable with them out there during live sessions. And two, sadly, they believe Shedeur is just a little bit further behind than we all care to admit. Or we would all care to see. They believe that. Now, whether or not a fan believes that, I think there's plenty of fans who think differently of the Cleveland Browns. And again, other than the Johnny Manziel scenario, fans have been right 9 out of 10 times. Where fans all wanted to see a guy, that guy comes in, that guy goes out, whatever it might be. In a lot of situations, that's why that we use the term the smartest guys in the room, because it seems that the fans with the common sense end up being right. So, you know, we'll find out. We'll find out here. I mean, good God, how upset can I be when we're saying like 4 or 5 wins this year? I can't be that upset. And it strengthens the whole thought of Joe Flacco being the starting quarterback for this year, which is what I wanted them to do. Not for the fans. I mean, the fans, I think, you want to see something new and exciting, and Joe Flacco doesn't have much of a future in the NFL left because he's 40 years old. But I think for the respect of the organization, that's the players in the locker room, that's Joe starts the year. I mean, if you start with Dylan, it's like, man, you thought that this was the best case scenario if this thing goes, I almost said a different word right, I'd have to dump, belly up, if this thing goes belly up, like now you have to go back to Joe. You don't want to have to go back to Joe. Just start the season with Joe. Get him off on the right foot as best you can and see where it goes. And if it goes to hell, which it probably will, then you put in some of the younger guys and see what they got. Fine. But it just strengthens that, okay, Joe's going to be the starter. He's not going to play on Friday. Might not play for the other two games for all we know. Yeah. But Tyler Huntley's going to be on Friday and Shedeur Sanders is going to be on Friday.
What do the Shedeur fans, and be honest, because so many of you don't really care about the Browns. You care about Shedeur Sanders.
Yes, of course.
I want to hear from those fans if they are coming into this with an open mind, that if it is Shedeur starting this game, that are they going to overreact one way or another?
Oh, yeah. I think of the conspiracy theorists. You're setting me up for viral clips. I understand that. The conspiracy theorists will be more adamant than ever that the Browns are going out of their way to put the screws to Shedeur.
Because if he goes out there and looks awful, there are justifications for that. They haven't really given him serious reps, and now all of a sudden they're like, go start a football game that everybody's going to be watching to see you. At the same time, if he balls
so
out,
are you saying
if he plays well,
it might be nicer for him if Tyler Huntley starts that game?
I am asking from their point of view if they think that's a good spot for him or a bad spot for him.
If starting is a good spot?
Yes. Because if he plays poorly, I'll come on the air on Monday and say it wasn't necessarily ideal for him. They never gave him first team
reps.
How
did he do with the second team?
And now they're throwing him out there.
How did he do with the second team against the ones? Didn't he not do too terribly bad?
Yesterday?
No, a couple days ago. Yeah. Not on Saturday. Didn't he suffice when he was with the second team against the ones?
That was fine. I mean,
So I would think that
it is tough to get. Honestly, Kenny, I'll just stop you there because like yesterday I saw the montages again that have been put up on social media. And, you know, it's tough to, I don't know how the coaches could, they know way more than me. And they've been at way, way more practices over the course of their careers. I saw 7 checkdowns from all these quarterbacks. Like, are they instructing the quarterbacks to just throw the ball 4 yards? because there's just no opportunities. Well, again, I don't know how they can look
who's open
with all these guys.
Who do I know is going to get open? If the defense is supposed to be as good as what it is, I'm sorry, no offense to Luke Floria. Luke Floria is probably not going to be able to get open if he's going up against some ones. So if those guys aren't open,
yeah,
then
but
who
if
am
ever,
I got to check it down.
That is what I would love to know from the coaching perspective. Do they think it's bad football to go out there and challenge the DBs, challenge the receivers, challenge the quarterbacks, put it on them? Because it almost seems like they are overly careful. You hear so much about no turnovers, can't turn over the ball. And I'm like, man, this team's going to get their ass kicked if we're just going to check down the entire season.
I think that they are, because the turnovers last year, the last 2 years, the turnovers have been just an abomination of the sport. So I do think that they will go into protectionism here. I think they will be too conservative in that case, Anthony. I think you might be a little bit frustrated here. Because, again, you don't have – I mean, Quinshon Judkins, again, is not with you. We don't know about this running back room per se. The wide receiver room is one of the weakest I think I've ever seen with them. And that includes Jerry Judy, who's a fine wide receiver.
Kenny, you're a coach. You're a coach, so you don't want to coach
don't
bad
turn the ball
habits.
Over.
You don't want to coach bad habits. I get it. But if ever there was a time when you were evaluating quarterbacks to let it fly, let it fly now. The consequences are what? You do the drill again. And who cares about the fans or the video that are there or the clips that go viral? Let's see the ball get thrown. I kept seeing people yesterday say, ball's not hitting the ground. Yeah, how's it going to hit the ground? You're throwing 3 yard outs. Like, what is that?
Etchedor yesterday in his pre-practice press conference. Thought we would get to see him with the first team. We did not get to see him with the first team yesterday.
Of course, I was definitely hearing his voice in the back of my head, but at the end of the day, I want to be productive. I want to give you guys the best work, and I want to be at my best at all times.
That's him talking about his dad. A lot of people with the theories and the conspiracies and the whatnot.
Remember, we were talking after drafting him, like, what is this going to be? Is Deion going to be here? Is Deion going to be talking about him every day and making national headlines? Is the film crew going to be there? None of that has happened at all.
I was going to talk Guardians here, but obviously the reaction is just way too hot of this. 216-474-0092. 722, I will get him in, I promise. 722.
Big win. Huge win last night.
722. Did it happen in spite of Steven Vogt? 722.
Oh, come on.
It's just a question that everybody was asking last night as they were watching the game. And I will ask you guys that question at 722 this morning. 216-474-0092. Tyler Huntley, what's it mean? That's where we're at in this camp. Tyler Huntley, what's it mean? I think it means that there's guys who are injured, and that's easy. But I also think that, yeah, they probably think that Shador is behind where they want Shador to be. And I don't.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It also, you don't want, even if Shador was ahead of the curve, you don't want him playing a whole preseason game. So you're going to have somebody out there to take up a half, because you're not going to want to play Joe.
It's wild,
and clearly,
right?
Like, Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel are not feeling great. Yeah.
Kenny, you've broadcasted some of these games, right?
Yeah.
You've been out there.
Yeah.
Tell people, because it is not like, I'm still in my mind, like the old days of training camp when, you know, you'd ratchet up that first chance. Yeah, the starting quarterback that you would have out there. This was all pre-Sean McVay.
Uh-huh.
The starting quarterback in the first preseason game would get a series, maybe, unless it was three and out, and then there'd be another series, and then that would be it.
Well,
helmet off, pads even off.
I think it's changed so much here over the last couple of years. Because there are teams, like, again, when you mentioned Sean McVay changed everything. Because they didn't start anybody, or they didn't play anybody during any of their preseason games.
8-0 or
whatever. And they go off to that great start, and then they end up winning the Super Bowl like the next year. So, and you have Patrick Mahomes, a guy who insists on, I need some time, I need some reps, I need to go out there. Tua Tagovailoa, who everybody's afraid to play in Miami, he wants to play
Bryce
in preseason
Young.
Games. Bryce Young
he
wants
is
to
playing,
play.
Right?
So, and Eli Manning, notorious for playing and trying to play in all four preseason games. Now I think it's different. And I think for a team, I anytime you put a guy out there, you're going to run a risk of getting a guy hurt, but you can't coach to injury. If I'm coaching to injury all the time, afraid to get everybody hurt, then we're just going to have a good-looking team on a bike, and we're going to get boat raced every single game. And that's, you know, that's kind of what's happened over the past, because they haven't had a lot of talent, so they have protected their talent that they have, and their talent wasn't ready to go out there, so they would get hurt anyway. That's why we've been seeing guys getting tackled to the ground last week, like, which you don't see in training camps. But in preseason, Joe's your starter. You don't want Joe playing. Kenny, even if he were healthy, maybe Kenny was the starter and you don't want Kenny playing. You know, one of them deals. You didn't need Joe, and maybe you didn't need Kenny to play. It would have been Dylan and Shador, but if Dylan can't really go and you don't want to put him on a 11-on-11 team setting with a not a great wheel, like, yeah, here comes Tyler Huntley. Tyler Huntley was playing in the preseason with this team before, knows many, many offenses because he's been with a few different teams now, and he'll be able to get you through this preseason game just fine. And you got 90 spots, and you can keep the 90 spots until the end, so... Yeah, you miss one person, but you can only have one quarterback out there, and you're not going to put Shador out there for an entire game. Because that, you want to talk about things that are unfair, that'd be unfair. That's, I mean, that's crazy. You're not going to put him out there like that, especially because he says he has arm soreness, so I'm not going to have him out there playing a whole 60-minute football game having to go through it. It will get him to a whole half, I think, and then it would be him and Tyler Huntley. It just depends on how you want to start things off. So for Shador, maybe the Wednesday practice becomes even bigger. Maybe the Wednesday practice becomes even bigger for him. Able to digest, read defenses that aren't set up with scout team, things like that. Going after, and they already put him up against the ones, so he's the scout team in that spot, going up against the ones. So maybe he'll be in a position to start on Friday. We'll see. But I think the Wednesday practice becomes bigger for Shador. I don't think he's out of the running to be on this football team. I don't think he's on a bubble. I think they'll keep him, clearly. But I also think that maybe they believe that he's a little further behind than what I would like. That I would, because I mean, I'm over here pounding the table. Nathan's pounding the table. We were chanting for first team reps yesterday. But and clearly they just don't think that that's
just flat
in the cards
out
right now.
Okay, so what have they seen in terms of him just throwing the football that like the media hasn't captured? Or is this all behind the scenes? Is this all whiteboard stuff?
It's got to be behind the scenes. Whiteboard. You know, maybe when we start talking about checkdowns and things like that, maybe they're like, hey, he's open. Like, again, you only see so much.
Yeah, is it classroom stuff? So much of this is so they sit in there in that auditorium or whatever.
And it really is. It's the same thing. Like, when fans go to camp, and even media, guys like Coach Lance, he knows what the hell he's looking at. And he knows what he's going to see in different periods of practice and things like that. Because they're pros and they can fit in a lot more. But I'm telling you, man, it's the same damn thing you would see if you were to walk by Owen's practice at Avon Lake with sixth graders to where you were to walk by and go sit in the stands at Browns camp with professional football players. It's like, you know what you're looking at, but you don't know what you're looking at. So you see a guy complete a pass, and you're like, why is that guy not playing? Why is that guy not playing? Well, is that the right spot to go to? Was he checking through the progressions? Like, you watch eyes. Like, go watch some of the clips of Trey Lance at training camp. And it's eyes. Locked. That's a third overall pick. And then you go see him when he was in Dallas in training camp. And there's video of it. Still locked to one spot. And Dak, progression, boom. Progression. That's a fourth round pick. So it hits guys quicker and it doesn't hit guys other than that. And one of the things that we might be dealing with here is that, yeah, Shador, it ain't about being stupid or anything like that, but you've had your dad call your plays in high school. You had guys who were calling the plays for you basically on offense and changing them up on offense in college. It's a different system in the NFL. So you got to sit there and listen to the play. You got to be able to get the play out and know where to go with the football. And it's not just one spot. So if Joe Horn Jr. or Travis Hunter ain't open, it ain't just take off. There's other things that you got to do. And again, that's all speculative. That's all speculative. And maybe it's going to take him a little bit longer than we thought. My problem is with this, though, do I trust the Browns to do it? And I think that that's what a lot of fans are dealing with right now, because they don't trust the Browns. I don't think they're sabotaging Shador, doing it on purpose. But I think you come out going, yeah, I don't trust the Browns, so I don't trust that they would do anything right by the guy. Not on purpose, but they just wouldn't do it. Joey in Strongsville, you're first up on the Fan. Hello, Joey.
Hey, can you hear me?
We got you, Joey.
Yeah, so I just want to say, you know, they self-sabotaged Deshaun Watson. Hey, Deshaun, here's Amari Cooper. Hey, Jamari Thrash. It's disgusting what we do to these QBs. Doing the same thing to Shador. Look at her running.
Wait, wait, what's the Amari Cooper? What do you mean by Amari Cooper?
Well, I like
he
where this
trash.
Is
he's a free agent now. He's trash.
Was he always trash?
He wasn't always trash, but last year he was pretty washed up. That's why he's a free agent now.
I'm so...
Our line was washed up. DeJuan Jones couldn't do anything. He got injured.
I mean, people were saying a couple of years ago, Browns were one of the most talented teams in the NFL. How is that sabotaging Deshaun Watson?
Well, he's not supposed to make anybody else better with the amount of money he's got.
You can't support him with the supporting cast. You said you were going to open up the offense, and Stefanski never did that.
You know what? He technically did, Joey. He technically did.
You know what I can say?
What?
We should do this. You ready for this plan?
Yes. What is this? Yes. Let's hear it.
We should get Deshaun back, 2026, best player available, Jags pick, Browns pick, Super Bowl.
There you go. Yeah, that's where it is. 216-474-0092.
Say, Amari Cooper in 2023 had 1,200 yards.
Yeah, Amari Cooper was good. You know, what are you going to do? Was that Joey from the back? John Greco going to join us coming up at 8:02. Would Joey would claim that call back there? You know how Joey
is.
That
was a lesson learned, I think, for everyone today.
Also, I'm pretty sure there's no way in hell this is going to happen, but I've been wrong before. I'm pretty sure there's no way in hell this is going to happen, but I've been wrong before. Yesterday on Afternoon Drive, they were talking about Dylan Gabriel being week one starter at Browns camp.
I think that it's still in the realm of possibility.
Here is our good buddy Nick Wilson on the matter.
I think every test that they're giving them, which goes back to what Dylan actually said about how, you know, they're trying to overload you. I don't know that they see his struggles on the field as necessarily a negative thing.
But they need to start doing that.
Well, no, they need to start. I think they look at this as like, all right, this is the threshold, and let's see where you are in a week. I think their rebuttal is going to be, you guys didn't see everything that we saw. You've seen the tip of the iceberg with X amount of practices. I've been charting him this whole time, and we believe that he's ready to win the job. And I still will say, I don't think he should start week one. But I continue to have to come back to the idea of, like, I think I have to prepare you and everybody in Cleveland that might not like Dylan Gabriel. There's a decent chance he starts week one.
I think we've been a little bit overzealous with our anti-Dylan Gabriel rhetoric on this station. I have not resorted to height jokes or anything like that.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Deep shots.
Oddly enough, I didn't get in the gutter on that sort of thing. I've gotten emails about some of the things that have been said. I think we've been a little over the top as a populace here. The media in Cleveland going after Dylan Gabriel here. But you start that guy week one. If you were to start him week one, pack your boxes. Everybody's out. You understand how unrealistically good he has to be to start him week one? Are we serious with each other here?
I thought he had zero chance to start week
that's
one.
That's not a serious conversation. I'm sorry. Aditi Kinkabwala-Wallace spoke about it yesterday on Afternoon Drive. Here's more of the guys in the afternoon about maybe some of the media jumping the shark on the whole Joe Flacco stuff.
Just this weekend of course it's Joe Flacco's job. Yeah. And I kind of felt like those people had jumped the shark. So to hear Aditi say it's early, I think that's exactly where we should be in the quarterback kerfuffle.
I mean, if it's not Joe Flacco's job here, again, pack your boxes.
Okay, well, let me say this. Here's where, okay, Nick might have a point, because once the Pickett injury came down, I was looking at the timeline and when he was going to be reevaluated, and I never thought Dylan Gabriel and certainly not Shador had any chance to start. It was either going to be Kenny Pickett or Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Pickett information came down, I'm like, well, that's it. They're just going to be more comfortable at this point with Flacco because it's going to be too much time missed. Now, I might have been off because Pickett was doing individual drills yesterday. So it's not over for him. It still is a hamstring. It still is something, especially the way he plays the game, that you do worry about either re-aggravation or whatever.
Can he miss joint practice, though, and it not be over for him?
So I guess Carolina one he could miss, but he could not miss Philadelphia. Because there's two of them.
No. You can't miss two of them. But I don't think he's totally dead and buried in the job. But yeah, again, I just think he's further away.
Honestly, I might have spoke too soon. I'll admit it, that it was over when I heard that diagnosis.
If you start, you got to understand, if you go and you start Joe Flacco and he goes out there and struggles, like, hey, you started the veteran. You started the guy who was the Super Bowl MVP, the guy that took you to the playoffs. I mean, he basically threw you on his back and took you to the playoffs somehow. Guys had to run routes. Guys had to play football. Don't get me wrong. That Bears game, you should have been buried in that Bears game. The Bears should have beat you that night, and they didn't. And Joe Flacco definitely threw the ball away a couple of times and did some stupid things as time went on. We know what happened in the Houston game. We know what even happened in the Jets game where he was able to keep the Jets in the football game as it was. But let's be serious here. He played to a high level. That was still 2 years ago, but it's still a memory that your veterans have. And so your veterans are going to have natural trust. I could buy Kenny Pickett being a veteran and you starting the season with Kenny Pickett. I don't think I'd agree with it. But I could buy something like that. Joe Flacco, to me, is the clear choice. If you go in any other direction, if you go with Dylan Gabriel, it just seems to be irresponsible. And if you were to go with Dylan Gabriel to start the season, considering what everybody has said, they're already going to be wondering, because you might not have seen so much, and you're only hearing what everybody has said, and none of it's been good. Who has said glowing things about Dylan Gabriel? Coach Lance once? During a practice, said like, okay, he's going through it. Like, but it wasn't like he was going, this guy, he's got something special. Nobody said that. You don't start a season with that. So clearly when you start a season with a guy like that, you're telling me you are completely unserious about winning anything this year. And in the grand scheme of things, maybe they're not. Okay, I understand that in the grand scheme, they could be a 4 or 5 win football team. But you at least got to try to go out there and win. Joe would be trying to win. Joe would be responsible to the veterans. Kenny, to a certain degree, as we said at the beginning of the show, he would be responsible to the veterans. Dylan Gabriel starting week one, no, there's zero possibility. Zero possibility. And if he does start week one, no offense to Dylan Gabriel, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited to him, I'd be sick to my stomach. For his future, for the Browns' future, for the current regime's future, for everybody involved. For everybody involved. There is no way on earth that anything with common sense tells any radio show host or any, I will do Kafis Corner till the cows come home before we will sit there and regurgitate anything about Dylan Gabriel being a starting quarterback week one. That is irresponsible. There's no, a guy as conservative as Kevin Stefanski would be, there's no way. I know the DTR a couple years ago, before the Ravens game, that was a surprise, a crazy surprise. But even he's not going to try to – I mean, no, you're not going to do something like that. You were just talking about the conservatism within the offense here. You're going to go put that guy out there week one? You were that excited to put that guy out there week one? That's insane.
And, I mean, from anybody that's been following this closely, they have said it's been as bad as they've ever seen. Think about that in Browns camp, and think about how many bad quarterbacks have adorned that famous jersey. And this is as bad as it's ever been. And we want to still put it in play that he could start week one for the Browns. It just seems impossible.
It does. It absolutely seems nuts.
And I've heard of guys that are not practice players all of a sudden showing up in games. But does it sound to you like Dylan Gabriel is that guy?
No. Good God almighty. 216-474-0092. Do we want to go to the phones? We want to try. I mean, the first one of the day was terrible, so I don't know if we want to go
any
further.
Try this, and that could be it for
the All right, we'll try. If this one's bad, we ain't going to go to the phones no more. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi, Ryan. Go ahead.
Is the quarterback that bad to say?
He's talking down a sewer pipe. I can't even understand him. So now I'm cutting it off. I'm not even throwing out the number now because we're just getting crazy stuff here so far. But Dylan Gabriel is I don't want to be accusatory of Nick here. Is Nick saying that it's open for? I mean, he's saying that it's open for Dylan
Gabriel.
He
thought we better prepare ourselves.
I don't want to misinterpret it because I've taken guys out of context before on this station, and I've been corrected. I've been harshly rebuked by Andy Baskin here. Hit it.
I think every test that they're giving them, which goes back to what Dylan actually said about how, you know, they're trying to overload you. I don't know that they see his struggles on the field as necessarily a negative thing.
But they need to start doing that.
I think they look at this as like, all right, this is the threshold, and let's see where you are in a week. I think their rebuttal is going to be, you guys didn't see everything that we saw. You've seen the tip of the iceberg with X amount of practices. I've been charting him this whole time, and we believe that he's ready to win the job. And I still will say, I don't think he should start week one. But I continue to have to come back to the idea of, like, I think I have to prepare you and everybody in Cleveland that might not like Dylan Gabriel. There's a decent chance he starts week one.
No. I got nothing against Dylan Gabriel. Not a chance in hell. Don't say that. That's irresponsible. Nick, I love you. No. You don't throw the kitchen sink at him and then he fumbles all of it and go, he's ready for week one in real live NFL football. No. If they do it, I won't be mad at Nick. I'd be mad at them. For the record, Nick would be right. Nick could do champion's pose. I go, congratulations. You're right about irresponsible, crazy people.
I feel like the point spread would dip all the way down to like double digits if he was starting week one.
It would be FBS Ohio or FCS Ohio State point spread stuff. The starting Dylan Gabriel? Again, Nick could do, he could do victory laps all he wants week one. He should do them on that Friday because that Sunday afternoon is going to be a long day. And then the rest of it's going to be a long day.
He would be right.
Because
he would be right. Guys, I'd give him credit.
Go with what you've heard over these last few weeks, these last 2 weeks here. Joel Batonio's been in the league how long? You going to start that guy? Joel Batonio's back. Going to start that guy? Miles Garrett. Now, Miles Garrett signed for a hell of a lot of money. Denzel Ward. How many years Denzel Ward got left? David Njoku, final year of the contract, correct, if I'm not mistaken? We're going to start this guy. This guy's going to throw to me.
Can you imagine the Shador calls?
You're not doing that. At some point, you may get to that. You start off on the right foot. I could possibly see Kenny Pickett if he were healthy. It's Joe Flacco to start the year.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.